Hi, I'm Bart Prater, and welcome to a special segment of the Sunday Night Hall of Fame. Tonight, we're going to do something I've wanted to do for a long time. We're going to examine some of my favorite music, and I hope some of yours, the British music, the British invasion. And with me is an old and dear friend, Chauncey Gardner. Welcome, Chauncey.
Good evening. Good evening.
We've known each other for so long.
Yes, I believe about 15
years. And it was a long time ago, the British invasion, and I saw it from this side of the Atlantic, but you were there.
Yes, we were all very hopeful, I guess.
You worked as a columnist.
Yes, I was writing at that time for the Daily Mail.
Kind of a rock reviewer?
Yes.
Music review?
As a matter of fact, I called my column the Daily Rock Review. And
through this column, you were able to maintain contact and get to know.
Oh, of course. I don't know how you think. England is much smaller than perhaps you think, and it wasn't that difficult to know everybody.
You're speaking geographically, and I guess you're right, too. It's not very far across.
No, it's a small island, really, and to know Mick Jagger, Peter Townsend, they lived around the block.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think for the next few minutes we'll play some of that old music.
I think we should, yes.
I'd like to start off with a song that's familiar to me. I don't know if maybe too many people in the audience remember it. Johnny Kidd and the Pirates.
Of course.
And a song, some say, started the British rock invasion.
I think it did. We'll talk about it more.
Shaken All Over, the original. Chauncey. That's am I trying to learn to play. Were you a member of a band or anything back then?
Yes, at one time.
I had a silver tone guitar, and we tried on the side of the Atlantic to equal the British sound, but we couldn't. We had bands over here. Do you remember the name of the group?
My group was called the Psychedelics, and I suppose we tried to cash in, as a lot of people did on the 60s, the sound of the 60s, the British invasion. We were coming on, and we thought, whatever.
You know, there were lots of different groups over there, and they had some of the strangest names. Do you remember?
Of course.
Do you remember Them?
Them.
Them.
Freddie and the Dreamers. Them.
With another guy. wander like it used to be with me. Oh, it makes me want to die. Yeah, 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 well, here it comes. Here comes the night. Here comes the night. Ooh, 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 yeah. There they go. It's funny how they look so good together. Wonder what is wrong with me. Accept the fact she's chosen him and simply let them be. Whoa, 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 well, here it comes. Here comes the night. Here comes the night. Ooh, 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 yeah. The way I used to do. I could see her closing her eyes and telling them lies exactly like she told me to. Yeah, 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 well, here it comes.
That brings back some memories. Sprite Raider, the Sunday Night Hall of Fame with Chauncey Gardner. We're looking at the British invasion. Here comes the night, Chauncey, and I would get in my... I had a Metropolitan. Remember Metropolitans?
Oh, yes.
Back then I had a Metropolitan. It's a British car, convertible, and cruise, and look for young ladies when the night came. How was it with you? Did you have a car, and if so, what kind was it?
Well, I did at the time. I had a Triumph Mini. I wasn't doing too well, as one might expect for a promoter, but I drove about London in a Triumph Mini.
But not everybody had a car.
Well, no, of course.
Because in England, the mass transit system is particularly well developed. What do you call them, tubes?
Yes, a tube. You can practically take the tube anywhere you want to.
Which is a subway.
Yes.
What we call a subway here. That's great. You know, the mid-60s, it was a very sensitive period. People seem to be very concerned then. Anymore, yes. There seems to be a little apathy.
I think
the world is going to heck in a handbag and nobody cares.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Or at least it seems it. But in the 60s, it wasn't that way.
No. I don't think there was anybody who was not involved.
And it was the Vietnam War, the conflict.
The Vietnam War.
And it was unpopular.
The war with Ireland. Everybody had a part. Everybody had a part to play.
I think I've got a record here about that. Let me see if I can... Can we cue it up on the air? Might as well.
Sure.
Okay. All right. That was the sound of a record being cued.
It was a form of unity. Mm-hmm. War at that time was unity. We understood one another perhaps better than today.
And there was a song out then that said so much about that, and that's why I just cued up.
Donovan.
Donovan's Universal.
The Welshman, of all things.
Universal Soldier.
Donovan.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die. And he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Lobau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war.
Let me see, Chauncey, if I remember his last name. Donovan Leach.
Donovan P. Leach, yes.
Donovan Leach. And he was... It was 65 when he recorded that.
Yes.
And he was 23, so he'd be 39 now.
He's 39.
Have you seen him lately?
Donovan, I have not seen in perhaps 4 years. He's
Where is he? What's he doing?
Well, he's at the south end of Wales, and he is in recluse.
He's not really entertaining.
No, no, he's not entertaining now.
This is a special edition of the Sunday Night Hall of Fame, and in this segment, we're examining British rock, the great British invasion. You know, I look at you, Chauncey, and you look at me, and we're both growing old. I don't know. 33.
33, yes.
There was a song, it was an American song, but Danny O'Keefe that goes, "You're not a kid at 33, but I've still got long hair, and you've got long hair." And I remember in 65, that was, yeah, it was 66, I guess it was. When I was a senior in high school, I wouldn't put my picture in the annual because I had long hair. It was down to the tips of my ears, just the top.
Well, yes, but...
I said it was disgusting.
Things all over are changing.
But the hair, you know where that came from?
The hair
was... The long hair. Beatles.
Yes, the biggest singular element in the British invasion was the hair.
I don't think we could examine the British invasion without... Think of the Beatles.
No, I think it changed our lives and it changed the world.
In so many different ways. It changed music forms and it changed the way we dress. I had one of those shirts without the collar.
Yeah.
Right?
It was responsible, I think, for a great deal of our attitudes, not just our hair.
What's your favorite Beatles selection?
I think I would have to say I Am the Walrus.
That's incredible. I would have to agree. That's my ultimate.
Is,
John Lennon wrote that.
Yes.
Rest his soul.
He wrote the entire album. Brilliant, man.
What an incredible song if you listen to it, the lyrics. Technically, it's incredible, too, with the voices and the different bits of audio that are picked up there.
I am you, as you are me, and we are all together.
Thank you.
Sunday Night Hall of Fame examining the roots of British rock and by Peter Chauncey Gardner is here this evening. And you say that's your favorite Beatles record. Well, I'd like to ask you something about it.
Yeah, the chant is at
the end. I don't know if I can pick that up or not. No?
Yeah. It's coming.
Okay,
that,
here we come.
That chant.
No, not yet. The voices that come in.
Yes.
I think you know what I'm talking about. Here it comes, this part. I've heard several different stories about what they're saying there.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what they are saying here?
Well, I know what they are saying. I spoke with John at one time. I really must say here that I don't actually know the Beatles personally. Mm-hmm. I don't, but I happened to be at a party with John Lennon, and at that time I did ask him that because I was curious about it myself. Yeah. And he said that all they were saying at that time was, got one, everybody's got one. And
one what?
Whatever.
One
we
nose,
all do.
One
we,
head.
We've all got
whatever
one.
Whatever you have one out. Let me see if I can back it up. Everybody's got one. Wow.
And everybody does. And that's all John was saying. It was a game with him.
My all-time favorite song. You didn't know the Beatles?
Not really. I really can't say that I did. So one party with John and Ringo, and it was all. Yeah. I didn't really know them.
Why? Were they in a different echelon? In a class by themselves?
Yes, I suppose.
Did you know anybody connected with them?
Yeah, Peter.
Anybody that worked with them?
Peter and Gordon.
Oh.
Peter, of course, through a sister who was a friend who was, and so forth. Paul McCartney had a relationship, and odd to know, I was there one day, and I happened to Paul introduced me. In fact, he said, "This is Peter of Peter and Gordon," and Paul was writing for them at the time. He did some good work as well.
He wrote songs for Peter and Gordon. One in particular, I remember.
One or two, yes.
Yes. Under a pen name.
Yes.
And his alias.
Bernard.
Bernard Webb.
Yes, Bernard Webb. Webb.
And if you've got a copy of the record at home by Peter and Gordon, Woman, as a matter of fact, take a look and right there.
Bernard Webb.
Bernard Webb is on the record.
Woman, do you love me? Woman, if you need me, then believe me, I need you. Get through it. Once again, you'll be mine.
Peter M. Jordan. Woman, Sunday Night Hall of Fame at WROV, and Bart Prater with me tonight, Chauncey Gardner. So that was a song written by Paul McCartney.
Yes, can you imagine? Can you imagine how that would have sounded by the Beatles?
Probably better. Though it was good.
Yes, it was good, but at that time, the Beatles are what they are today. Perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that song being done by the Beatles.
I know.
Fabulous.
That you happen to know a member of the Rolling Stones.
Mick Jagger, yes. Yes.
How did you happen to meet him?
I didn't live far from Mick. I suppose I could say I grew up with Mick. We were schoolmates. Chums.
What type of person was he when he was in school?
Well, he was always different. Mick was a different sort of fellow. He was as bright as anyone in the class, but Mick had a sensitivity to his animal instincts.
You think that comes out in some of his music?
I think it definitely does.
He's been called sexist.
He has, yes.
He seems to treat women as objects.
He does.
For his pleasure.
He does, yes. Mick is a male.
How can he do that, though?
1980 British male. I think if anywhere it's captured in Mick Jagger, he never could get enough satisfaction.
And so he had a hit recording, and that was the first that made number one on the charts, I think, to the best of my recollection. Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, which we may play in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I thought we'd listen to something else by the Rolling Stones. A song that says they ruled the roost, and they didn't want anybody moving in on their territory.
No.
Very territorial.
There was a particular time, it seems, that Mick felt this, that he was where he wanted to be. He was on his cloud, and no one was to come near him.
Thank you.
101.3's Sunday Night Hall of Fame. Albert Pritt here with me tonight, Chauncey again. Chauncey, you spoke before we played that record about Satisfaction, and you say there's a story behind that song.
Well, there is. It's nothing really. Mick took a fancy, I should say, to a girl from, of all places, Spitalfield.
What was your name?
Her name was Lydia.
Lydia.
Lydia. And one would not, I suppose, expect such behavior from a bird from Spitalfield, but it was true. And that's why Mick wrote the song, Satisfaction. Lydia never would succumb to his interests. And
the one lady.
And Mick was frustrated.
In all of Great Britain.
And
that said no
he
to
wrote
Mick.
This song, Satisfaction.
That was all about a girl named Lydia.
Lydia, yes.
That's an incredible story. Listen, thank you very much for dropping by tonight and sharing memories with us.
It's been a pleasure.
As we examine the history of British rock. Listen, don't make it so long the next time before we see each other again, okay?
No. We'll be back.
Good night.
Yes. Cheerio.
For WROV, the Hall of Fame, and Chauncey Gardner, Bart Breeder, good night, America.